Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Sam Fairchild, CEO of Energy Composites, trading on the OTC bulletin board. The ticker symbol is ENCC. And Energy Composites is a leading provider of composite-based solutions to the clean tech sector. Thanks for joining us today, Sam.
I'm happy to be here, Juan.
Great. Start off by talking to us about the launch of the Wind Fiber Energy Program.
Wind Fiber is our strategy for penetrating the wind energy sector. We believe that composites play a very, very important role in the current and future success and growth of wind energy in the United States and in Canada. And we have concluded that a number of the advancements in materials, in manufacturing, design, and in technologies that we have created and are using in other sectors where we build composite structures can be applied effectively to the wind sector to help reduce costs, to make the in the wind sector more feasible across a large number of farms, and to help in the growth of alternative energy in general.
Great. And also, the company recently became a member of the American Wind Energy Association. Talk about the significance of that.
Well, I can tell you that AWEA does a magnificent job of representing the members of the sector, and I think there's a great deal of trust between AWEA officials and people in Congress and at the White House who are engaged in the federal decision-making effort. In addition, AWEA has a large portfolio of incisive and helpful information, databases, and research insight that helps us plan our market strategies to help us understand our customers better, et cetera. So joining that group really is a major advantage. If you talk to our company's president, Jamie Mansell, who's also the founder of Energy Composites, you will also understand that we think that we can bring a great deal of value to AWEA as well because of our fairly unique insights about how to apply composite technology effectively into the sector.
Okay, and talk about the LOI, the letter of intent with a blade factory out in Wisconsin.
Well, our current plant, which is about 73,500 square feet, is primarily devoted to our core historical traditional businesses. We will be constructing approximately 350,000 square foot plant across the street that will build blades. What's interesting about our approach is all the blade factories in the United States are based on what I call a European model. And the European model was developed, I'd say over 30 years ago in terms of how blades are produced, how throughput in a plant is designed. We have made some major advancements in the approach to making large composite structures, and those advancements are reflecting in how we operate our current core plant. We've taken all of that insight, and we've now applied it into a design that will have a 50% higher throughput as compared to the European approach. So I call this in the American approach to building blades. And with the infusion of our materials technologies, we have certain materials that can be applied in the manufacturing of blades that will dramatically improve their longevity and also reduce their weight. We have a number of design improvements that will help us to really push the ball forward on blade manufacturing. We have historically entered into a strong partnership with the city of Wisconsin Rapids, the place where we are currently located. on all of our growth strategies. And in fact, in the city will play a very important role in the construction of this new plant. So they were had enough vision to come to us and point out this property, offer it to us. We have now signed the letter of intent to purchase it. We are in the final negotiations on the final price for the property itself. And upon the final approval in the City Council, which we expect next week, we'll enter into a purchase agreement. From there, we already have all of our preliminary designs done, and we'll begin the process of applying for industrial development bond financing that will then help us to build this plant with the most advantageous interest rates. We think that our current goal is to be up and running by the end of the first quarter of 2010. Our plant should produce at a rate of 1,500 blades a year by the end of 2010. And we think that we're going to be doing that with about half the number of employees in the American design as is currently used in the European design, which will help us to be dramatically more competitive against other manufacturers of blades in the U.S.
Great. Well, thanks for the clarification. And talk a little bit about some of the trends right now in the market and how well-positioned is Energy Composites to capitalize.
Well, we're very, very bullish about wind energy, but we're also bullish about other sectors. We think for wind energy we're very well positioned. We'll be up and running about the time that the market returns in its fullness in the wind energy sector. Any of the chilling effect of the credit crisis has begun to bottom out as it applies to wind, and I think that we'll be on an upswing come the third quarter of 2009, and will be in pretty good shape altogether market-wise by in the first quarter of 2010, about the same time we opened the plant. So we're really well-timed on our entry into the market. That's on the one hand. Our wind fiber strategy has two other components, however. We also will be distributing and are distributing advanced fibers and advanced epoxies to other builders of wind blades, and that will grow for us. We have excellent sources for these fibers and these rosins at highly competitive prices, and we think that that's going to be an area of growth for us as well. The third prong of the wind fiber strategy, of course, is our maintenance, repair, and overhaul activities for wind blades and other composite components of the wind energy systems. We're at the beginning of that penetration, but we have for a number of years performed almost exactly the same kind of services for other large composite structures in other industries, the power generation industry, the petrochemical industry, the pulp and paper industry, the biofuel industry. So we're taking the same kind of advancements we've made in how we do on-site work for repair, for maintenance, overhaul, and even installation. And we're applying that same philosophy into our penetration of the MRO market for wind. That's the wind side. But the company has other dimensions as well. We build the flue gas desulfurization infrastructure for the power generation industry. We're very good at that. We build, and I think we're probably among the best providers of the processing and storage systems associated with the chloralkaline and other kinds of petrochemical processes. We are highly competitive in the area of the biofuel infrastructure. And a major area of growth for us is in the area of wastewater processing and containment. If you look, one of the major infrastructure needs in the United States is to upgrade and repair and replace the sewer infrastructure all through municipalities. especially those municipalities that were harmed by recent floodings from the major hurricanes like the Gulf Coast. We have very unique approaches to how we do that. We're doing it extremely cost-effectively, saving the municipality a great deal of money, as well as the taxpayers of that region, and making permanent replacements of current infrastructure that now is has fairly short life cycles. So we're very excited about that. We're already working in Louisiana on a number of projects there, and we'll be expanding that over the next few months.
And talk about what differentiates your company from other players in your sector, in the energy sector.
That's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked it. It actually begins with our workforce. We have, in my many years in industry, we have the most productive workforce I've come across. There's something really special about employees in the Midwest. They have a work ethic, which I think is trumps in the work ethic from people in other parts of the country, and the people in Wisconsin especially. So that is a major differentiator for us. We're very clever in how we solve problems. Jamie Mansell, the president of the company, is probably the most innovative composites guy, in the industry. I've seen him to solve problems for customers that many people thought were unsolvable because of his many years of experience, but also his innovative way of looking at problems and solutions. So I think that we have a major plus there. On top of that, we've got the partnership with both in the city of Wisconsin Rapids and the state of Wisconsin, which really helps to keep our growth costs to a minimum so that we can really do more growth on less money. We're very, very frugal about how we spend money. We buy highly serviceable used equipment if it's available, as opposed to going out and buying brand new equipment. We even make our own equipment for manufacturing if it makes sense. A recent example on it, we actually built the largest tank that the company's ever built in the plant on a winding device that we built ourselves. A new winding device would have cost us $2.5 million, and it would have taken 12 weeks to arrive. We built something that has equivalent performance for about $178,000, and we built it in 2 weeks. And we were able to make the tank and actually other tanks using that device. That's the kind of thinking that actually helps to push a company like ours forward and to cause it to grow a lot faster.
And in terms of, talk a little bit about the company's growth. Is it primarily organic, or are you looking to M&A opportunities?
We never turn down an opportunity to look at an M&A possibility that makes sense. But our primary focus is organic growth. If we find something complementary that helps to position ourselves in either our core or growth markets because of the reputation of the target company, if we find a company that actually adds to our arsenal or our toolbox of capabilities, or perhaps offers us a strategic diversification in geography, as an example, that will help us to reduce the cost of our delivered product and services to the client, then we're going to look at that very seriously. But we're not out to do roll-ups. We're not out to do acquisitions. Only if they add to our current business plan. So I guess I can tell you either yes or no. It's a nice, clear, it depends.
Right. Well, yeah, certainly still makes sense. But can you walk us through a little bit of your background and experience as well as the key management figures on your team?
Absolutely. Be happy to. I actually had a chance to serve as the CEO of Broadwind Energy. At the time, it was called Tower Tech Holdings, and I learned a great deal about the wind market and about Midwest manufacturing in that opportunity. Took the market cap of the company from the mid $20 million level up to well over $1 billion in less than 2.5 years. So So we had a very strong success there. Before that, I served as the shadow CEO of Air New Zealand. I have advised a number of the Fortune 100 companies over the years, and I served as a sub-cabinet appointee both in the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration. So I've had a chance to look at a lot of these things from many different angles, and I think that actually helps in deciding strategy and in making decisions and in bringing people together. Jamie Mansell, who's the president of the company, is the heart and soul of the company. As I said earlier, I have not met a more innovative individual in manufacturing, but not just in composites manufacturing, in my life. He is in the consummate team player and team leader. His enthusiasm for finding solutions to the hardest problems is absolutely infectious. And his 20 years in this industry helps a great deal. He knows as much about how to engineer this as any engineer could possibly know, and he's not even an engineer. So I think that he adds an enormous amount to the company's value proposition and enjoys a sterling reputation among the clients in the industry. Jamie's wife, Jennifer, has for a number of years handled the administrative functions of the company, overseeing purchasing, has had some oversight, especially early on, over the financial sides, and is also a part of the heart and soul of the company. She's a tough negotiator too, I have to tell you. I would hate to be on the other side of the table, you know, when it came down to a procurement negotiation, because I know I would lose in the process. Our vice president of finance is Jeff Kunches, and he is a Sarbanes-Oxley compliant financial man, extremely conservative in his approach. Comes from that Wisconsin world of being conservative, of being cautious about money, and I have an enormous amount of confidence in his ability to keep the company's finances on a very, very good track. We have a couple members of the board of note. Dan Weirgan was with me at TowerTech, was actually one of the founding partners of TowerTech that became Broadwind Energy, also from Wisconsin, actually from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Extremely, extremely clever financial strategist. Very, very strong in that area. Gave an excellent grounding to the financial approach at Broadwind in the early days, and his insight about the wind energy is also extremely helpful to our wind growth. We have, you know, currently an outside consultant who is the author of our wind fiber strategy, Adrian Williams, who is one of the global experts and recognized global experts in the use of composites in the wind energy area, has been instrumental in actually setting up an appropriate plan in infusing the thinking with great facts, great empirical data, has helped us to make excellent decisions. And while he's not an employee, he is a critical part of our team moving forward. I think those are the key people. We have a number of top drawer engineers, quality control managers, production heads, who really put their heart and soul into the business of the company. We've established the kind of stock ownership programs that will continue to incent these people to contribute, to look at the long range strategies. I was an outside strategist for Southwest Airlines for a long number of years, and in that process I learned a great deal about how to incent people correctly. We've taken all that body of knowledge and and other pieces of insight and cobbled together to actually form our approach with the company.
Well, it certainly sounds like a pretty close-knit team, as well as a happy team, which is, you know, very important.
It's a very happy team.
So what specific objectives have you and your management team set for the company over the next 12 to 24 months?
Well, we are looking to take now the infrastructure, both on manufacturing overhead and on the establishment of our field service division, all the things that cost us money in 2008 to do in 2009 and beyond, and we'll be leveraging that investment to and deliver the bottom line results. We'll be, I think, strongly profitable in 2009. I'm not at a point to name a number yet, but at some point in the course of the year we will. We are looking to have an explosion of growth in 2010 with the opening of that plant. Our sales infrastructure is dramatically strengthened, you know, from 2007 to 2008 now. And now in 2009, we're leveraging that sales infrastructure to really build a larger and larger backlog. We are planning to add on to the current plant probably later on in 2010 because our core markets continue to grow for us. And we do our core market work in the existing plant. It may be necessary at some point for us to add capacity outside of Wisconsin Rapids, perhaps at some place in the south, in order for certain kinds of contracts to help reduce the transportation costs. But you know, we'll cross that bridge at the time we get to it.
Great. And once again, joining us today is Sam Fairchild, CEO of Energy Composites, trading on the OTC Bulletin Board. Ticker symbol is ENCC. And before we conclude, Sam, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider Energy Composites as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, excellent question. I think that investors might have some comfort in the fact that we really understand what we're doing. We're doing very deliberate steps. They are well planned. We understand that in order to grow markets, you have to invest. We have done that. We have low-cost facilities to gain additional capital as required. We plan to leverage the current upswing in available capital for job growth, for alternative energy fields, for other kinds of clean tech plays, and we'll make the greatest possible use of that from the federal, state, and the local levels so that our capital costs are at the lowest possible cost in order to bring additional value to shareholders. But I think underpinning all of it is the fact that we are a company that recognizes that we are in the business to build shareholder value. That's our core mission. We're doing it through the use of this business plan, this strategy, these markets, these facilities, and this workforce. But the mission's clear. Our job is to build shareholder value. Management are shareholders. We are aligned, and we will carry out our work accordingly.
Great, and we certainly do look forward to continuing to track your company's progress.
And, I look forward to that, and any time that we can visit again, I'd be happy to do so.
Anytime, Sam. Thanks for the update.
Thank you.